If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
Do you think that people are leaving Cuba because they don't like communism?
I think we've been pretty clear that we think people are leaving Cuba, or not leaving Cuba, or protesting in the streets all as well, because they are opposed to the oppression, to the mismanagement of the government in the country. And we certainly support their right to protest. We support their efforts to speak out against their treatment in Cuba.
So that's, I'm going to throw half of this equipment across the studio. So that's Jen Psaki. Of course, I'm not surprised by any of this. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday, danalash.com, and a lot of stuff to get into. The administration's kind of MIA on all of this stuff, honestly. And furthermore, I don't know if you guys saw, we're going to get into this. I don't know if you guys saw the statement from BLM, the Marxists that actually decided to stand with... And people were emailing me. I already saw it like 1,000 years ago. But are you surprised that Marxists are going to... Why are we acting shocked about this? Self-described Marxist back a Marxist regime. Can we stop acting surprised about this? Because they said that they were Marxists from the very beginning. Welcome to the show. DanaLash.com is the website. Stream the show. If you're listening to it now, I mean, if you want to change and stream to Odyssey app, it's just also available there. There's a million different ways you can find the show. And the statement from BLM combined with the way that the administration has handled it, we're going to talk about this. We're also going to get into a couple of interesting pieces, how the world seems to kind of be on fire. When you look at the demonstrations that have taken place just in the past several months and are actually taking place right now, whether you have discord in South Africa, you see the protests in France, there were protests in Great Britain just a couple of weeks ago that nobody wanted to talk about. And, well, I mean, we did here, but nobody in British media actually wanted to talk about it. It's this fight against authoritarianism. There was a very interesting piece in the AP that we're going to talk about that gets into all of this. Now, furthermore, not only do you have BLM siding with Cuba's communist regime, but you also have the ahistorical creator of the 1619 Project claimed that communism solved racism in Cuba. What? And I guess by solved, they meant killed minorities. I don't know. Because Che Guevara was a notorious racist. And, I mean, there's quotes. I mean, people should understand their history. I feel like people wouldn't be purposely ignorant in a time of overwhelming information. But the 1619 Project, they were claiming that Cuba was a model for racial equality. Oh, my gosh. Emphatically not a model for racial equality. And that's, of course, Hannah Nicole Jones, who even her own side did not. They were even taking issue with the stuff that she was doing because she was so historically incorrect. It's this attempt to try to rewrite what people in Cuba are doing. Honestly, I think the best statement was that from Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide, who I'm never gonna laugh about the phrase Mr. Worldwide ever again. Give that man his props because he's the only one who's saying it like it needs to be said. Listen to this. This is audio soundbite 17.
But politics are gonna be politics, and while they figure out what they figure out, we need to figure out how to really help. We need to get creative. We need to figure out solutions while they're losing their lives over there literally for something that we wake up every day and appreciate, which is freedom. So to everybody out there, stand up, step up, and if you don't understand, get with the motherfucking program and wake up.
There you go. Yeah, it's not because, oh, people are upset because of the U.S. embargo. That's actually a stupid and that's, you know what? That's a white privilege take. Yep. That's a stupid position by a narrow-minded white Marxist bigot who's never left the United States, who doesn't understand that the United States, any kind of embargo that they had against Cuba does not mean that all of Europe and everywhere else in the world had an embargo against Cuba, which they most certainly did not, by the way, which is why Cuba's industry was around tourism until the pandemic shut everything down. It would be really great if these completely backwoods, cousin-loving, just absolute singular brain cell morons would pay a little bit more attention to everything that happens aside from their navel. I think that's a pretty accurate description, right? I have zero mercy for people who choose, and not just choose, but just joyfully embrace idiocy. I mean, that's like one of the most privileged takes I've ever heard in my ever loving life. It really is. Tupperware fresh revolutionaries. I mean, goodness, they think it's sightseeing to go to rural America. I've met people like this. I've met people like this in D.C. before. And this is why I hate going to D.C. This is why I have fought to stay where I am in Dallas and have said, no, I'm not moving to New York. No, I'm not moving to D.C. No, I'm not going to move to L.A. I have turned down so many things because I cannot stand it. I don't need that. And I've met so many people like that in D.C. that I actually had one. It was a reporter one time. I think this was like one of the first years that they had. No, take that back. It was one of the last years. It was the last year that CPAC had its event in downtown D.C. before they moved it to the National Harbor. And I remember I was getting dinner with some friends. In fact, one of my friends is Carrie Pickett, who was there with us. And it was a reporter that none of us really liked, but we kept kind of an okay relationship with. But he could not believe. He's like, is it really true? Like, you know, people, they would go hunt or fish or something before they go to school. And I'm like, well, I don't know if people have, I don't know anybody that had time to do that. But, well, I mean, I had family members that did that. Yeah. Wow. And they would just, it was just a foreign concept to them. They would just keep their rifles in their truck. Yeah. And they locked their truck. And it just, they could not wrap their mind around it. It was the most bizarre thing ever. And then I remember he proceeded to tell me, and it was that point I gave one of my friends a look like, if you guys don't make him leave, I'm gonna completely gut him like a fish here at the table. And he was going on and on about how he had one time gone. He was in Kansas one time, and discussing how, yeah, I went, you know, those the convenience marts that people have there. I mean, they have like food. It's like an actual supermarket. I'm like that, but it's not a supermarket. It's like a Quick Stop. I'm like, it's like, he's like, that's not, I'm not kidding you. I'm like, have you ever left New York? Because the guy was in New York. I was like, have you ever left New York? Have you ever left Manhattan? It was just because New York has rural places. I'm like, it was so bizarre to me. To me, it was bizarre to hear this dude talk. And of course, kind of a lefty, a little bit more so now. But it's those types of people that say this stupid garbage, that say this kind of stuff. And then you have that statement. I read the statement this morning from BLM. I'm not going to read it in full unless you want a bunch of illiberal gobbledygook garbage. But it was really stunning to me. And they took the position that. The position that they took was that the problem and the fault of all of the unrest is that of the United States and the embargo. They said that they condemned the U.S. federal government's inhumane treatment of Cubans and urged it to immediately lift the economic embargo. This cruel and inhumane policy instituted with the explicit intention of destabilizing the country and undermining Cubans' right to choose their own government is at the heart of Cuba's current crisis. Oh my gosh, you Marxist filleting morons. No, it's not. It's communism that is the destabilization factor. And you know the reason why presidents from Republicans to Democrats maintained this economic embargo? Because the regime was getting rich off of the economic activity from the United States, and over and over and over and over, too numerous to count, Cuban activists and organizers and people who were eventually thrown into jail for raising awareness about it were stressing how none of that money was going to the people at all whatsoever. Not a dollar, not a dime, not 1 cent. Nothing, nada. Nothing was making its way to the people. And if you disagree with that, then pray tell. Perhaps you can explain to all of us here, all of us listening, why it is that even with the rest of the world's tourist economy and tourism to Cuba, why is it that so much of Cuba is and Cubans live in poverty because of the destabilization factor of their communist regime? Black Lives Matter, that organization, is excusing not a single condemnation for the communist regime in Cuba murdering its own citizens in the street. Not a single condemnation for the murderous and abusive brown shirts that government was sending out. I watched a video of a woman getting dragged by her hair with her baby on her hip simply because she was voicing dissent. She wasn't burning down buildings like Antifa does. Not a single syllable of condemnation from this Marxist grifting organization. They said the people of Cuba are being punished by the government, by the U.S. government, because the country has maintained a commitment to sovereignty and self-determination. Now you see why Pitbull got so mad. Now you see why all of these Cuban activists based in Florida are shredding BLM today. This is a garbage Marxist statement. It's absolutely illiberal. It's completely historically ignorant. They're blaming the United States government for Castro, for Castro's regime and him propping up the current government, the Castro family. Unbelievable. Anybody at this point that throws in with the organization of BLM is a Marxist. Own it. Every single person that does not condemn that organization is a Marxist. You are a Marxist accommodating commie lover. That's what you are. I have zero. It's tyranny or liberty. We're past the time for nice, courteous words on this. We have a lot of other things, too, to discuss because I'm not done with this. The story, I don't know if you saw some of this, from AP and Reuters and the like. Oh my gosh. This was stunning. So this was, I think this is Reuters. Let me make sure before I start blasting them. Yeah, it was. Here's the headline. Cuban protests risk exacerbating COVID-19 spike. Oh my God. So Reuters has a story where they're blasting Cubans for protesting against communism. And I very helpfully went back and I was looking at all of the articles that Reuters had, whether it was Antifa protest riots or whether it was BLM protest riots, all of this. I went and looked at every single bit of this. They had no, they were like, it's okay. They didn't say anything about it. No talk about masks, social distancing, anything like that. No, apparently fighting communism is a super spreader. You don't want to have a super spreader liberty event. And by the way, Reuters was also, they were also defending the French regime because all of the protests in France right now, because they were demanding mandatory vaccines for all citizens. Don't even think about leaving your house and going anywhere unless you're getting one. No joke. That's why people are in the streets in France. Reuters has been running cover for them too. Yeah, Reuters, June 6, 2020, protests worldwide embrace Black Lives Matter movement. September 11, 2020, despite Trump's law and order rhetoric, protesters won't back down. There's tons of these. You know, but the 50,000 BLM rally in Hollywood, that was at the absolute height of everything, that was okay. Reuters supports the Cuban communist regime. It's okay. Let the commies show you who they are. Let them just sit back and let them unmask themselves. We know. Everyone knows when applying to jobs, you're lucky if you make it through one application before you're just ready to give up. It takes, on average, 18 minutes to apply to a single job. That's time consuming. Now, with the latter's new Apply For Me service, their expert team will apply to jobs for you. This is a game changer. The latter's is the number one job search site for six-figure jobs. Search thousands of jobs, and the latter's Apply For Me service does all the work of applying to jobs for you. Simply upload your resume and answer one set of questions one time, then click Apply For Me, and the latter's team will fill out all of the forms for you. You'll receive email confirmation when your application is complete, so you can sit back and relax. Plus, with a new Google Chrome extension, Apply For Me works on any job site, corporate career site, and job application page. One click, no hassle, no wasted time. Make those tedious job applications history and start using Ladder's new Apply For Me service today. Visit theladders.com/Dana to sign up. That's theladders.com/Dana.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So the Wikipedia co-founder, I could have told you this, says, I no longer trust the website that I created. Now, we know nobody trusts the website because they don't even allow it in court of law because it's so factually incorrect. Larry Sanger, this guy, he's because they get like what, the world's fifth largest website, which I did not know that they got that much traffic. I mean, I knew they got a lot, but because Wikipedia has been written and monitored by a bunch of volunteers, most of who are left and they have no lives and they sit around with their cats all day long and argue with people in the comment section of entries. So Larry Sanger, who's the co-founder, he said that it's left wing, you can't cite anything. And he says that I don't trust it. He's like, because of it's super far left bent, I no longer trust it, of course. So in Fulton, which we're going to talk about, some ballots were initially double counted in Fulton County, Georgia, before the recount. Some really unbelievable video coming out about this stuff. And now there's some receipts that are coming out. I've been very straight no chaser on this stuff. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution also verified duplicate ballots. So the people that needed to unmask this and show this and make the case are doing this now. No thanks to Sidney Powell, but they're doing this now. And they need to keep doing it. 45 churches are engulfed or attacked an ongoing anti-Christian terror campaign. This is not in, you know, some like Saudi Arabia. It's in Canada, believe it or not. We have a lot more on the way. Authoritarianism advances as the world battles a pandemic. We'll discuss. Stay with us. Summer is heating up, and no sweat if you're wearing the new Apollo men's underwear from Tommy John. Apollo is Tommy John's newest and most advanced men's underwear yet. It has a performance-grade, dry-release fabric blend that's exclusive to Tommy John. Apollo men's underwear, it's proven to keep you drier and up to 7 degrees cooler than regular cotton underwear, and that's perfect for summer. Tommy John underwear moves with you. Breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric that has 4 times the stretch of competing brands. Apollo underwear is soft, supportive, and available up to size 4XL. See, that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. And with over 15 million pairs sold, men across America, they love them some Tommy John underwear. Right now, get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Dana. Visit TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off. Apollo men's underwear, it's proven to keep you drier and up to 7 degrees cooler than regular cotton underwear, and that's perfect for summer. That's TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
You may recall way back in, 1961, they invaded Cuba. And everybody was totally convinced that Castro was the worst guy in the world. That all the Cuban people were going to rise up in rebellion against Fidel Castro. They forgot that he educated their kids, gave them health care, totally transformed the society.
Oh, yeah, you remember Bernie? Praising them. Well, he had a literacy program. I mean, forget the fact that he murdered tons of people. He was teaching the kids to read, Kane. You know, teaching them to read. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, danalash.com. Happy Thursday to you. It's good to be, you guys, we're spilling tea today. We're just talking bad about all these tyrants. It's good to be with you guys, though. I appreciate the fellowship. I still go back and I think to that. Do you remember how vociferously he defended that? Because he actually, I will say that there were some people on the left, there were some journalists on the left that really did. They were pushing back on him. I not they were pushing back, from what I remember, not because he, they were trying to get him and hold him accountable or give him an out, or they actually, they were trying to help him is what they were doing, because they really did prefer him. So, yeah, they really, you know, because he taught the kids to read, even though they're, literacy late was still really slow. Yeah, and then, of course, I mean, who could forget Barack Obama? I mean, he was like, he loved him some of the Castros. Listen.
And I said this to President Castro in Cuba. I said, look, you've made great progress in educating young people. Every child in Cuba gets a basic education. That's a huge improvement from where it was. Medical care. You know, the life expectancy of Cubans is equivalent to the United States, despite it being a very poor country, because they have access to healthcare. That's a huge achievement.
Access to healthcare. I was reading someone on Facebook yesterday. They said when they they hurt their ankle really bad and they were worried it was a fracture. And they said they were literally sent to a witch doctor instead of a primary care facility because of the healthcare situation. And that was like in 98. It was after it was really before tourism from other countries began ramping up, and after the fall of the, you know, Soviet Union, et cetera, et cetera. So there was like a weird period in Cuba. So this idea that I just, it's just crazy. Remember when people started going to Cuba when Obama lifted some of the travel sanctions and all of that, and everyone was only staying in the super bougie parts? And do you remember? There are a couple of Cuban bloggers, and this was back before we just started saying everyone was a pundit or an analyst, and blogger was actually a term. But there were some Cuban bloggers who were ridiculing these media people, because these media people, that's when the whole thing, what was it, Poverty Chic and Poverty Tourism came out, because these journalists were going to, they were going to Cuba, and they were staying in like the really wealthy parts of Havana, and they were, I'm trying to remember some of the places that they were going, but I do remember they were getting roundly just fisked by these Cuban analysts, because they were saying you went where the government wanted you to go. You just did like a goodwill ambassador tour for the regime. That's exactly what you did. You didn't see the people struggling. You didn't go to where, you know, the stores that every other Cuban has to go to, where you can't get goods because there isn't anything on the shelves. You didn't do any of that. You didn't even put forth the effort. So insane. Or they would say things like, oh, this restaurant is so quaint and all of this. And then there were people who were like, you know why it's quaint? Because we literally can't get in any linens. We can't get anything for table coverings. We can't get any. I mean, oh my gosh, they were blasted. Now, today, don't you think they would be, I don't know. It feels like they would be canceled for saying stuff like that today for the poverty tourism. But for some reason, it's still accepted when it has to do with countries run by tyrants. It's insane. Now, I have a couple of other things, because I could sit here and we could really get into this. This piece, it was a very good piece that I read in the AP. And it's an editorial. Authoritarianism advances as the world battles the pandemic. Very true. It really does put it in the 30,000 foot view perspective. When you look at everything that's been taking place, for instance, Hungary, a lot of people like the way Hungary was running their country with borders, et cetera, but they were banning the public depiction of any, you know, same sex, anything. China shut down Hong Kong. I don't like anything that infringes upon expression or speech, because I believe whenever an individual decides that they are going to outsource the policing of their own soul and the guarding of their own heart to a godless government, you are already giving up. To me, that is a sin. When you're outsourcing your own responsibility to meet the bar, to me, that's a sin. China shut down Hong Kong's, you know, they shut down Apple Daily. You have the tensions in Brazil. Belarus and Russia, you know, going after a passenger plane to arrest a journalist. I mean, it goes on and on. There's a lot of stuff. The protests in France. And I don't agree with everything in this piece, but there's some very interesting points made. It's almost like some of the even far left are coming around to some of this. For instance, in France, this is insane. You have Emmanuel Macron telling everyone vaccinate or else. That's why there have been these protests, and it's not just tensions. I mean, there's been violence. Emmanuel Macron addressed France Monday, and now he stopped short of imposing universal mandatory vaccinations, but he kind of basically did. Because your travel's restricted, even French citizens' ability to just go to a coffee shop and sit down and have a cup of coffee, that's even restricted. And so that's why there's all these tensions, and there's the struggle and the protests and the smoke and tear gas and all this stuff that's been used in the past few days, because people are done, they're finished with it. Makes sense. And so this. And what we see in Germany, in Cuba now, and here in the United States, there has been this authoritarian creep that's been happening. People are pushing back. I had a very interesting conversation with Mike Gonzalez for No Apologies yesterday, the extra hour of content that I do for The First that airs 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern. And he was saying how for the first time ever, there was a very high up military official who publicly resigned from his post, saying that he was not going to turn on his own people. That's never happened before in 60 some odd years of this tyranny. That's not happened. And he said, for one of the first times, it's he has some hope. Because that's ultimately what it's going to take. He has some hope. Gonzalez's family's Cuban American. But the idea of keep all of this on the table, because there's so much where I want to get into some of the economic stuff and this whole discussion of the Great Reset. But I'll say this too. I did see one piece. This was ABC. There were demonstrators in Miami, and this was just a couple of days ago. They were blocking some of the highways. Now, there were two groups. I feel it's very important to establish this. South Florida has the largest population of Cuban Americans, and of course, I think it's important that they also protest in solidarity too, and they have been. And they had there were a couple of different groups that had gone out, and one group. Had gone and it was the Palmetto Expressway. Shut down the Palmetto Expressway during a weekday afternoon, and the other was in a public park and peacefully protesting. Now I will say, I think that you have to be consistent when it comes to the highway stuff. First off, I think it's dangerous, and I don't think anybody should be doing it. And I think that unless you're working with law enforcement and telling people in advance and you're doing like a march and you have the road shut down, that's not to get permission for you to exercise speech. That's for you to make it safe for the people who are there demonstrating. If you're not doing that, I don't think you should. You shouldn't be on the highway. I don't want there to be any at all whatsoever comparison or any way for the press to try to undermine any kind of protest that anybody's doing against the communist Cuban regime by accusing them of adopting any kind of BLM tactic. So I think people need to just be a little careful and be a little wise about it. Because remember, BLM are not standing in solidarity with anybody protesting against the Cuban government. They've already made that very clear with their statement today. Now, people were asking Ron DeSantis about this, Florida governor. Keep in mind, too, that media is looking for any way that they can to take him down a notch. DeSantis is Democrats' biggest political threat. And honestly, no matter what ends up happening in 2024, I think Trump needs to stay in it as long as possible. Even if he doesn't want to run, I think he needs to stay in it as long as possible, because he will shade the other candidates. they will pay less attention to these other candidates because they're going to be flinging all the arrows at him. And how amazing is it that out of all the Republicans in that party, he is the only one that is actually would be willing to do that? Because right now they're all slap fighting over, not all of them, but a good majority. That's why I haven't talked about the Ronna McDaniel. I don't care about the power jockeying. I don't care. I'm very simple. Liberty or tyranny? What's your pick? You're either an enemy or you're an ally. What is it? There's no gray area. This is where nuance does not have a place. So they were asking DeSantis about this. Because he had signed some laws not long ago where they were increasing penalties, particularly as it relates to getting in the highways and shutting down roadways and that. Now, he was very delicate with the matter. And he was saying that the people who had, because again, there were a couple of different groups, only one group was in the highway. He said that demonstrators want a free society. He said they're trying to throw off the yoke of tyranny. And, you know, it's not about the vaccinations or anything like that. I do think that we have to be careful. And I think that's a difficult spot for him to be in. We do have to be careful and not say that certain tactics are allowable because we agree with the struggle or we agree with that protest. We have to be very careful in not doing that. And here's why. A lot of people think it's just worshiping at this false altar of consistency, but it's not. You got to think bigger than that. There are a lot of people out there who are watching and desperately wanting to see some kind of consistency from someone in government. Anybody, any elected official, any talking head, because they have not been getting it from this administration. They have not been getting it from the press. They have not been getting it from the bureaucratic agencies that they're supposed to be able to rely on for basic information about health and vaccines. You have an obligation as a free citizen and liberty evangelist to fulfill that role. That is why we are consistent. So,
I have a little bit of the DeSantis audio if you want to hear
it. Yeah, let's hear some of this. Thank you.
Why isn't it playing?
Because, see, it doesn't like you. That's why. It's like, no, Kane, I don't think I'm going to do it.
That's weird. It's not playing.
There you go, right there. So, coming up, I have a special story for you, Kane. Do you know that they're coming out with new emojis? They're going to be finalizing them in September of this year. And if you've always wanted, I mean, I can't have a gun emoji, but you can have a pregnant dude with a mustache emoji.
What?
Uh-huh. So we have that. The American Booksellers Association, the modern day book burners, they decided that they are not going to sell. We had on the show not long ago, Abigail Schreier. She wrote a very academically based book where they looked at specifically children and teens who identify as, or they would want to identify as the opposite gender. So the trans issue with children and teens. And there was a lot of, she's an academic, she's not a pundit, she's not a polemic, she's just very, I mean, it was, and I've read it, and it's a very, it is not a sensational book. But she is, and that's why she's being blasted as harshly as she is because of that. It would be so much easier to write her off if she was sensationalist, but she's not. So the American Booksellers Association came out and said that they are not going to, that they had accidentally mailed that book, her book, to some of their members of their bookseller association, their little book club. And they called her book violence. And then they talked about how essentially they're banning wrong things. So we're going to talk about the modern day book burners here coming up. We'll have DeSantis's audio too. All kinds of stuff that you don't want to miss. It's a pretty packed show today. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all-new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy two bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of two bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
If we're understanding the stakes, understanding why people are revolting, and we're siding with the Cuban people, you could probably get a lot of the policies right at that point. If you go into it thinking that they're upset about a vaccine shortage or they're upset that there's not enough groceries in the store, but they just want the regime to change a few things around and kind of rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, if that's what you think, then you clearly have no hope of getting a favorable outcome here.
So that's what DeSantis was talking about. We were just discussing how some in there was a one group in Florida that had broken away for a protest against the communist Cuban regime. And we just gotta be careful, not blocking highways. Let's not do that. No BLM tactics. So I have two things for you. One is super stupid. One is really funny. And the first is that Trump released a statement about General Mark Milley. We're going to talk about that stupid. Here you have media trying to do this stuff with Russia again, and I am done. I check my pockets, and I have zero redacteds to give today. And no patience. So Trump released a statement. My favorite line is, quote, "Sorry to inform you, but an election is my form of coup. And if I was going to do a coup, one of the last people I would do it with is General Mark Milley." Oh my gosh. Wait until you hear the rest of this, which we will share with you. And also, shark advocates say that shark attacks should be called interactions because it's the word attack is mean. I am not making that up. I swear to you, hands to sky. That's an actual article. It's a real thing. Stick with us.
We are going to have more to say about Cuba and Haiti as the week goes on, and so stay tuned.
We hear from the president this week. He said the other day that he would speak out on that.
One, in terms of whether you heal from him, he says that often, as you know, and what he means is he speaks out publicly nearly every day at events. Sometimes you all ask questions. If there's an update to provide on what we're doing, on what our policies are, certainly he'll provide that. Is there a planned speech or trip? Not at this time.
So that's Jen Psaki, who is discussing the, well, not at this time. Biden's not going to speak out about on communism in Cuba, not at this time. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. It any time's a good time. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, everyone. Good to be with you this Thursday. And always appreciate it. Always appreciate the fellowship. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go subscribe to the newsletter Chapter and Verse. And a lot of stuff. I have a lot of wokery, really stupid wokery, and we're going to continue following it because I think that I was just telling Kane actually before we went, before we actually came back, I was just telling him I think the story with Cuba is one of the most important, the most important stories right now. I think following Fulton, and I think it's so incredibly important. This is any time that people are pushing for freedom is I'm there. I think that they should be encouraged as much as possible. It's a tough thing, a very tough thing. So I want to switch gears. So here it is. That stupid, stupid Trump piece that was from The Guardian about another book that's coming out. And I think it's absolutely hysterical, the statement that Trump just released. So in the piece, I don't know if you guys saw some of this or what. I was reading about this last night. In this piece, they were saying that it was General Milley, you know, the guy who was like, oh, white rage when he was speaking to members of the Senate. And I'm just going to read you this statement because this is funny. You can tell Trump like shouted over his desk for someone to take this down, right? So here's... I'm gonna read, it's four graphs. So I wish I could do his voice. Here's the statement. Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. Despite massive voter fraud and irregularities during the 2020 presidential election scam that we are now seeing play out in very big and important states, I never threatened or spoke about to anyone a coup of our government. So ridiculous. Sorry to inform you, but an election is my form of, quotes, coup. And if I was going to do a coup, one of the last people I would want to do it with is General Mark Milley. He got his job only because the world's most overrated general, James Mattis, could not stand him, had no respect for him, and would not recommend him. To me, the fact that Mattis didn't like him, just like Obama didn't like him, and actually fired Milley, was a good thing, not a bad thing. I often act counter to people's advice who I don't respect. This is Trump's this is his statement that he sent out. He writes, in any event, I lost respect for Milley when we walked together to St. John's Church, which was still smoldering from a radical left fire set the day before. Side by side, a walk that has now been proven to be totally appropriate. And the following day, Milley choked like a dog in front of fake news when they told him they thought he should not have been walking with the president, which turned out to be incorrect. He apologized profusely, making it a big story, instead of saying, I am proud to walk with and protect the president of the United States. Had he said that, it would have been all over, no big deal. But I saw at that moment he had no courage or skill, certainly not the type of person I would be talking coup with. I'm not into coups, says Trump's statement. He writes, two graphs left, two short ones. In fact, around the same time, Milley, in a conversation, was an advocate of changing all of the names of our military forts and bases. I realized then, also, he was a much different person than I had hoped. I said to him, quote, spend more time thinking about China and Russia and less time on being politically correct, end quote. But I never, he writes, I never during my administration, never during my administration did Milley display what he's showing now. He was not woke. Actually, I don't believe he ever was. But the way I look at Milley, he's just a better politician than a general trying to curry favor. That smacked with the radical left and absolute crazy people espousing a philosophy which will destroy our country.
Seems pretty clear.
Damn. Oh my gosh. So there you go. That's, I also don't like Mark Milley, but right. You know, I love how he's like, do a coup. I would not do a coup. So that's Trump's statement. On that, okay. So, if you're not familiar with the story, there is this. It's a Guardian piece, and there are even leftists that are questioning it. To their credit, because I think there are some people, there are some leftist analysts that are realizing, oh my gosh, these people have been so partisan for so long. They're ruining our profession and our ability to make money. I mean, didn't you just see that the Atlantic is hurting? All these institutions are in trouble financially because nobody wants to read them. Nobody cares. So there's this Guardian piece, and it says, here's the headline. It's by Luke Harding. Kremlin papers appear to show Putin's plot to put Trump in the White House. Exclusive. Documents suggest Russia launched secret multi-agency effort to interfere in U.S. democracy. Now, what have I said all along? I have said, look, if you have evidence, show me. I do not like Putin. I don't care who it is. I am not a cult of personality type person. I am so anti-authoritarian. I almost cannot even have things that face all the same way on a shelf. It's that bad. It's the opposite of OCD. Is there a thing? I'm pretty sure there is, probably, scientifically. I have it, whatever it is. And yes, I know, OCD in the stereotypical form. There's many ways. But I've always said, if there's proof, show us. Because we hate communists. I don't use the term hate very seriously. Hardly ever. It's a very strong emotion. It is a very strong word. Hate is something that, hate is a complete and total absence of any love. It's not love intensified. It is the absence of it. I hate communism. I hate commie tyrants. And hate is not a great enough word to fully capture that sentiment, right? It's working overtime. And so, we always said, show us. You show us the proof. You show us evidence. I'll believe the evidence. I have zero, no, I don't, any, no one has a problem with this. We love America. Nobody has a problem with this. We love freedom more than anything else. You know, except like, you know, God and our families. Well, I still love freedom. And dogs. I love dogs a lot too. Anyway, long story short, you know what I'm saying. So this, and Kane, I just have to point out, because they're saying that these are documents that show Trump, Putin thought he was crazy and wanted him in the White House. I swear, it's almost like do we have another situation where there were documents from the Kremlin that show that were about Trump and how Putin wanted to, when was that?
Paid for dossier?
Yeah.
Paid for by the DNC?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I mean, this Kremlin papers. First off, can we just not even read the article and stop at the headline for 1 second? Who goes, hey guys, the Kremlin gave me these papers about Trump. I should believe them. It's the Kremlin. They came from the Kremlin. That's where it stops. Who is this guy? I feel like the actual Conor McGregor gif. When he turns around, he's like, who the is this guy? Who's this guy? Who sits here and goes, oh, hey guys, they got papers from the Kremlin here. Should believe them. The fact that they're passing off Kremlin garbage and running with it, these are leaked Kremlin documents. Oh my gosh, you can feel how proud Luke Harding is of himself in this piece. This is the story. Here's the first graph. You need to know, because they're going to be talking about, you're going to hear this all week, rest of the week and weekend. First graph, let's make fun of it. Vladimir Putin personally authorized a secret spy agency operation to support a mentally unstable Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election during a closed session of Russia's National Security Council, according to what are assessed to be leaked Kremlin documents. What the heck kind of sentence is this? According to what are assessed to be. What? That's an Olympic backflip to say we don't know what the heck we got. Oh my word. That right there should immediately completely undo any discussion about this, but it's not going to, because people are morons. Oh my heavens. That's it's actually amazing. So they really don't know where this, they really don't know. This suggests to me that they don't really trust the source. They can't really actually verify. They can't verify their source. That's what it means to me. I mean, you even have Chris Hayes, who I don't like, saying the sourcing on this is a bit thin and, or at least obscure, but he does the whole, well, whoa, if true. I mean, shut up. The first hurdle should have been these papers from the Kremlin. That's like saying, look at these documents we got from North Korea. They say all of these things that perfectly fit into what we want to hate about Trump. It's amazing. By the way, Glenn Greenwald pointed out that it was Luke Harding who had published the story. Remember the story where they were saying Paul Manafort? And I've never been a Manafort fan. But that story was stupid. They were saying Paul Manafort met Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy. And it was an entirely BS made up story. I mean, even Assange's people were like, what? It was entirely, utterly made up. And The Guardian never corrected it or retracted it. They pretended it never happened. He wrote that story. I mean, this is insane. Like this, for instance, remember this. One of Assange's people verified on Twitter said, no one got into the embassy without registering and being videotaped. There would definitely be a record if Manafort had been there. I know. I was there many times. How do you not even bother to check something like that? also. I mean, the guy's essentially, I mean, he's imprisoned, and he was imprisoned in the Ecuadorian embassy. Of course, everybody was. It's just craziness. So now he says, I've got these highly sensitive classified Kremlin documents. Look at these Kremlin documents. It shows everything I've ever reported is true. Wow. So convenient. Much convenience. We're going to talk more about this. We're also going to get into, oh man, you can't say shark attack anymore. It's shark interaction. I'm not making this up. Let's talk about trust, something that's important to do with so much defunding and canceling going on. Do you know that many wireless companies support left-wing causes that take away our freedoms and pare down our traditional beliefs? Patriot Mobile is different. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and plans to fit any budget. They donate hundreds of thousands of dollars each year to causes you and I care about, like First and Second Amendment rights, sanctity of life, supporting first responders and veterans. There's no better time than now when we celebrate our freedom and Independence Day to check out Patriot Mobile. Switch today and get even more value. $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment or 50% off your first 2 months plus free premier activation. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based, highly rated customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Switch to Patriot Mobile, a company you can trust to support your values. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so the State Department has offered a $10 million bounty for information on foreign hackers targeting critical infrastructure. I feel like I have another calling here, Kane. Seriously, where are all the Gen Zs that love this stuff? Like, there you guys go. State Department said that it will offer rewards, this morning, up to $10 million for information leading to the identification of foreign actors who launched cyber attacks on critical infrastructure. People can contact the State Department's Rewards for Justice program, which I didn't even know existed. Did you know existed? RFJ? Through a secure channel on the Tor browser, this is a statement that they had. They said that the reward is only available for info that actually leads to the identification of people. So that's a fun little thing there. Look at that. Also, I saw this. I didn't get a chance to comment on it. Mel Gibson was at UFC, and he was on camera like saluting Trump when Trump walked by, and everyone was like, "That's not Mel Gibson. There's no way that's Mel." And that was Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson was at UFC. Trump was at UFC. UFC's fun to watch. I love UFC, but I really get into, I'm the chick, so my husband loves the fights I like the athleticism, but I so get into the stories of people. I get emotionally invested in these fighters. And if my fight, and then if it's a bad night, I mean my whole night, I get very into it. Yeah, he was there, and people are trying to give him. I don't think Mel Gibson cares that anybody's trying to give him garbage. He's an imperfect person that came back. I love Robert Downey Jr.'s speech when he implored Hollywood, you know, all you people with the planks in your eye, why don't you come on, let him work. It was that. If you've never seen that, you got to Google that Robert Downey Jr. speech about Mel Gibson. They were on stage together. It was one of the craziest and awesome things I've ever seen in Hollywood. Federal court, this is huge, has ruled you cannot ban 18 to 20-year-olds from buying guns, which is true. Because it's unconstitutional. It's garbage. If you can go and serve and get issued an M16, and if you can be blown up by an IED, by damn, you can carry a gun in the United States of America, for crying out loud. So that's changing. U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit said those laws are unconstitutional. We're going to watch that case go through the court system. Stick with us. A lot more in store. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at DeltaRescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly DeltaRescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at DeltaRescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit DeltaRescue.org/Dana today.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
There's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vaccine misinformation on social media platforms. All of them remain active on Facebook, despite some even being banned on other platforms, including Facebook, ones that Facebook owns.
Wow. That's Jen Psaki. Just a little bit ago at the White House press conference. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. So that's actual censorship. That is censorship. There's no other defense for it. There's absolute no other, nothing. That is censorship. And that's just amazing. So the press secretary had said, and she was, it was the white, they were discussing after the president was talking about the economic plan and the tax, the child tax credits or whatever. There was a Q&A with the Surgeon General, and then she comes up and said this. And she said that they are in regular touch with these platforms and were flagging problematic posts for Facebook. So that's censorship. Yep. The government is, and it also admits that the government's working with social media. Mm-hmm. The government is working with social media platforms to censor citizens. Anyone who is a Democrat who likes speech, free speech, if you are not objecting to this as vociferously as possible, you've chosen your side. Never, ever talk about freedoms again, ever. This also, I think, brings up a need for questions revisiting that New York Post piece with Hunter Biden. Because you now have Jen Psaki saying that they're working with they're actually telling social media platforms who to censor, whose posts should be pulled. Here's the thing, and I'm going to go to the contradiction with the Biden stuff here in a minute. I don't care if someone is spreading misinformation. I don't care if someone is posting things that I don't agree with. I have a number of friends on my personal Facebook page, not even my public one. Because I am not one of those people who thinks that I can only be friends with people who are politically like-minded. Because some of the biggest jackwagons I've ever met are people who are politically like-minded like me. I look, are you a decent person? Are you a good person? Are you a loyal friend? Can I count on you if I need someone to count on? That's how I judge it. I have friends that I have had for so many years. And one of my really good friends, I've never actually grilled her on what her politics are. I kind of know. It's just one thing we don't talk about. We have too many other things to talk about. That's honestly how it should be. We should never be this politically tribal to where we're looking at Facebook and we can't stand someone's opinion, so we got to report it and shut them down. The idea of free speech is not to protect speech with which we agree. Free speech even applies to the most disgusting speech out there. Now, there are forms of unprotected speech, meaning this. The idea of free speech means you are not prevented from saying it. And there is no legal liability that can be brought against you for saying it. The act of defamation, libel, slander, and then when you look at court rulings which define imminent threats, fighting words, things like that, there are few forms of unprotected speech, meaning speech that is not protected from litigation in a courtroom. And these are the hardest cases to litigate. The hardest cases to litigate. And it is very expensive to litigate, which is why you don't really see a lot of those cases. Even in this fake news era, you don't see a lot of those cases because of the high standard that must be met. And it is important that that high standard exists because it keeps speech free for everyone. I don't even have a I never even had a problem with the garbage news like this Guardian piece that we were just talking about and making fun of from Luke Harding. I don't have a problem that Luke Harding wrote it. I think it's complete garbage, and he's free to write complete garbage. He is free to make up crap from the Kremlin. He's free to make up stuff and put it out there because we have free speech. What's missing in this whole equation, and this is what the left always presupposes, is that you as a human are not smart enough. You are too stupid. You are too incapable of figuring out truth. Just put all the facts out there and let us walk away with the conclusion. And where it comes to the coronavirus stuff and vaccines, I don't care if someone, I have, like I said, I have friends on my personal Facebook page that extol the virtues of vaccines, specifically coronavirus vaccines. And they put their badge on, I got my vaccine. I don't care. Good for you. And they have no problem with my position. So it should be. They share things that I think are questionable science. And I'm sure they think the same of me. But there's no way in hell that I would ever support the presidential administration telling Facebook to flag their post. If you are at the point where you have to tell social media platforms, we don't want that opinion out there, then you suck at messaging. This is Jen Psaki, the White House spokesperson. Every single day, there is a reporter from every major media entity in the world in that room. Every day. If there is anything that Joe Biden and Democrats want the press to know, Jen Psaki gets up there every single day and tells them. That is not, in no way, is some rando on Facebook going to compete with that. And the insinuation otherwise is dishonest. In absence of information, people will speculate. And if the administration wants to be so pathetically poor with messaging, if the administration doesn't want to share information, if they do not want to answer questions that Americans have, and be forthright about this. Answer the question. Talk about the myocarditis, the pericarditis. Talk about the hormone concerns, the inflammation concerns. Discuss, you know, the clotting and all. There are no questions on this. There's no answers. Questions aren't allowed, so no answers are given. So people will speculate. The government messed this up, these bureaucrats, from the get-go. Because they suck at messaging, they think that you shouldn't be allowed to speak. This is censorship. Saying that Facebook needs to move quickly to remove such posts. This is outright censorship. And it also makes me ask, what else is the White House flagging? This is just what they've told you. And this is where I go back to the Hunter Biden thing. The story from the New York Post originally on the laptop. Now we have all of this other information that's coming from the laptop. We have the thing with the with his paintings. We got the stuff with the photos that he took while his dad was VP in the office with these Mexican billionaires that he's landing a deal with, all this stuff. This story was so suppressed, posts were removed of it from Facebook. We had, I don't know how many people try to flag us on YouTube anytime we talked about it. It was ridiculous. And then I had my Twitter account suspended because I wrote a piece discussing how social media was treating this story. It wasn't even about the New York Post piece. I was simply talking about how the how social media platforms were treating this piece. And they suspended my account, and I had to delete any tweet where I mentioned it. I saved all the screen caps. Is that not insane? And it wasn't just me. There were thousands of people, actually, that had their accounts suspended. The only way I could get my account back, and then I shared everything again in screen cap. The only way I could get my account back was if I had deleted those. You weren't even allowed to. So did the White House flag that? I think now her soundbite. Absolutely. We are owed answers to those questions. She just set herself up to answer a bunch of questions about that. They've already admitted that they're flagging these posts. What else are they flagging? $1 million question. I have a very healthy suspicion as to, I have kind of an answer. I know what I think as to what else they're flagging. I'm positive they're doing more. I don't believe that they're not. The same ideology that was weaponizing the FISA court back, 5 years ago, of course they're still doing this stuff. So right now at this point, Facebook is acting as an agent of state. That's all there is to it. But Trump, though, remember, Trump is a fascist. This is crazy. And where's corporate media? Where's the quote unquote free press? The idea of a free press is a lie. Define free. Free from what? Because the way I see it, you have a press that wants access to power, so they will not publish anything critical on leaders of a certain party. They want access to that power. They will not publish things. The New York Post got into so much trouble. Alexander Hamilton's paper, founded by Alexander Hamilton himself. And that paper was under fire from people who actually published articles that were given to them through a Democrat, a DNC fundraising op, a doxing op, Kremlin garbage given to them, and they leaked it to the press, and the press knew full and well what they were writing about. Their names are redacted. There was a FOIA request that showed the records. We just don't know what publications or journalists they were, except for like two of them. The same press that had no problem doing that. The idea of a free press doesn't exist. Because a free press, being able to be free from the constraints of their own biases, a press that is able to be free from the shackles of their own ideology, to be able, with a clean slate of thought, write a story comprised only of information, only of facts untainted by opinion, it does not exist. There are some people out there who try really hard at it. And they do a fairly good job. Right in, there's some on the left. Tiny few. But those aren't the people that get the stuff trending. And here's part of the consumption fault. Everyone loves confirmation bias. People will only share things that confirm their biases. And there is no side that is immune from this. Although I do say, and there are studies of information that has been shared on social media that show there's one ideology that will share other side information, even if only to counteract it, and it ain't the left. It's just unbelievable to see this. So we have a lot to go over here still, including, speaking of media, more coronavirus panic. The left was, they spent yesterday slurring Lindsey Graham and calling him Lady G and making fun of him, suggesting that he's gay. These are the same people that are mad because of the Christian chicken sandwiches at Chick-fil-A, because they say that the mere existence of a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A is somehow hate. But them slurring Lindsey Graham so much yesterday that it trended on Twitter isn't. This is why I do not believe these people's cause du jour.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-mm-mm. I kept thinking that we were... I was already thinking that we were in... what is that? My Quick Five segment. I was thinking that. All right. So, let me pull this up here. Because I'm... Oh, man. I'm like all into that censorship story right now. All into it. This is... I can't talk about that one. Oh, man. This Florida man strips $100,000 worth of fixtures from a historic mansion, and according to Tampa Bay, and it's called the Kellogg Mansion. And he, when he was in, got in trouble for it, he's like, oh, I thought I was allowed to do this. What? It's a nearly century-old landmark home on Dunedin's Buena Vista Drive. It was they closed it back in June, and the sale closed back in June for $4 million. And they had this long ago filed demolition permit. They were going to knock it down. They've had stalls and starts. So the seller and home buyers, they signed a contract allowing the city to first take a number of fixtures and things, statues and other pieces that owners there are worth at least $100,000. And so preservationists were even considering moving it to a new property. But the thing is, it was owned by the guy who made cornflakes. W.K. Kellogg, yeah. And so the city could auction salvaged items to fund the history museum and future preservation products or projects. But then all of a sudden, when the new owner arrived, they found it stripped of all the stuff that was promised to the city. The wrought iron door frames, the chandeliers, the statues and fountains. There was a 1,500-pound sculpture of a Greek god. The cage door was gone from the old elevator. And they were like, wait a minute, why, furniture and personal items could be removed, but the fixtures had to stay. Well, they found out that there was a Florida guy, Tampa Bay Salvage, went in and said, oh, well, we're heartbroken. We just thought we were allowed to do this. I was going to donate everything to the museum. Sure. Were you, though? Sure. So they had to spend, they spent $10,000 on labor and machinery to get stuff off the product. He's like, he goes, I've been made to fight to have the right to give a gift. Wait a minute, though. That's the city didn't contract you out, though, to do this. So, and it turned out this one Florida woman spit on a flight passenger after the passenger demanded that she wear a mask. Maybe everyone can mind their own business. This is ABC7 that reported this of Sarasota. The girl totally was escorted off the plane. Maybe also everyone mind their own business. And if you're that terrified, don't fly, right? Just... stay with us.
Peter, first I would say communism is a failed ideology, and we certainly believe that. It has failed the people of Cuba. They deserve freedom. They deserve a government that supports them, whether that is making sure they have health and medical supplies, access to vaccines, or whether they have economic opportunity and prosperity. And instead, this has been a government, an authoritarian communist regime that has repressed its people and has failed the people of Cuba. Hence, we're seeing them in the streets. But I would note that the ideology of the government, which has failed, has led to a lack of access to economic opportunity, to medical supplies, to COVID vaccines. So all of those pieces are true.
Why do you think they had so much trouble? It was because of the communism. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. DanaLash.com. Coming up later on in the program, we're going to speak with Texas AG Ken Paxton. Very interested. You haven't really seen, have you noticed that the Texas Democrats who ran away, you're not really hearing that much about them anymore, because that was, of course it was going to fizzle out, and they weren't going to get a lot of information or a lot of attention. And people can only pay attention for so long, and they get bored with it. I think they're going to have run out of their goodwill, even with their own voters, after the weekend. So that was, again, welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Don't forget, no apologies on the first, 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern, and you can also check out the Odyssey app for this radio program, too. The economy, or the government-controlled economy in Cuba, that's ultimately what the problem is. I think this story, there's three huge stories today that, to me, are the most important stories, hands down. And the first one is that the Biden administration and audio that we played last hour finally admitted that they were conspiring with social media platforms to and directing them to censor citizens. And it's fair to ask what else they are flagging. And it's, I think it's safe to assume that this is widespread. And that's because Psaki had said at the previous press conference, she said that we're in regular touch. This is her direct quote. We play the audio. We're in regular touch with social media platforms about COVID-related misinformation. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook. She says there's about 12 people that are producing 65% of anti-vaccine information. They remain active on Facebook. And adding that the social media company, quote, needs to move quickly to remove such posts. So they're conspiring with social media platforms. This is actual censorship. That is one of the biggest stories. And you know it's more widespread than this. This is just what they're admitting to. The second massive story is the counting and the cases that are in Fulton County, Georgia. There's some very interesting stuff coming out showing ballots that have been double counted, and either sloppiness intentionally or not, but I don't think that you can say it was a clear and clean process at all. And that's just from, and this is the people who are in the county needed to do the work and showing this to the public, and they are doing that. Just like if this happened in your area, it would be incumbent upon you for the sake of the Republic to provide that evidence and information. And they're still digging. I think that's a huge story. One of the biggest. And I think that the administration, I think also the biggest story is what's happening in Cuba. Because this is part of this worldwide resistance against authoritarianism. You've had protests in Britain, you've had protests in France, you've had against lockdowns and against mandatory vaccines. You see what's happening in Cuba. And to hear Jen Psaki, to hear the administration in this, at the same press conference, by the way, in which she admitted that the administration is actually working with platforms to censor American citizens, then she can't even spit out the word communism. They're so afraid to criticize communism. That's insane to me. They're so afraid to say, you know why? Because they can identify their own policies that lead to those very same ends. It's the government controls almost the entirety of the country's economy. The people who work in Cuba, everything is rationed from food to their own salaries. When you hear Bernie Sanders talk about free health care and free this and free that, it's because worker salaries are rationed so that it can pay for the free. That's why they don't make, because they're paying for all this stuff. And it's not good care. They control everything. I mean, the only way that really people can actually create their own business and work as if they find out areas where the government is falling short, whether it's trying to fix infrastructure or actual infrastructure. But they have to be very, very careful because the government makes it impossible through tax requirements and the tax structure. It's very complicated. The licensing system, it's prohibitively complicated so that they're not going to be shut down if they're discovered. It's crazy. People weren't even allowed to own a cell phone until Raul Castro took over. And people are forced to be entirely reliant on the communist regime for everything, for food, for their health care, if you want to call it that, housing, any basic need. They can't even decide what they want to go into. I mean, it's awful. That's why people are protesting. That's why people are out in the streets. This idea that I see from everyone from Black Lives Matter, who took the side of the communist regime, which isn't shocking because they're communists. And they said that the reason that this is happening is because the United States embargo. No, it's not. It's not. That's the stupidest thing ever. And it ignores the fact that you have all these other countries that have been giving Cuba tourism dollars. And that's the thing, too. When you go over there, one of the ways that that people can go to Cuba is if you're helping the Cuban people, but you have to have a, you have to be very careful, and you can only, you can't stay at any like military, go to military businesses, own businesses, government owned hotels. They want you to, because they have the private home stay is essentially like what they encourage. The Casa Particular, that's what they encourage, and do business only with local shops, local restaurants, where you're essentially giving cash to the people, because otherwise you're funding the regime. All right, a few things here. Let's because it's been serious. It's been a serious day, right? Serious day of headlines, and these are some heavy topics. We can't be finishing our Thursday like that. Shark advocates are calling for rebranding violent attacks as interactions. It's a real story. You guys don't believe me. It is an actual real thing. They said these are marine experts and advocates in Australia, and they are urging the public to refrain from using the word attack. Yeah, they're trying. They don't want people to use the word attack, because they say that it's, I guess it's just not nice. I don't know. And so they said that they need to be called interactions. Call them interactions.
Wait, are the shark going to be offended?
I don't know. They said the violent attacks, it says that the majestic predatory fish has been unfairly stigmatized as a deliberate killer. So we need to use more neutral words like interactions or incidents or negative encounters or bites. Sydney Morning Herald has this. So the University of Sydney language researcher says shark attack is a lie. They're merely nips and minor injuries from smaller sharks. Are you kidding me? Can we start calling our car accidents that? Car wrecks? It's a car interaction. It's a car nip. This is so silly.
I find it funny that if you disagree with someone, they will frame it as an attack.
Uh-huh.
Like if you criticize somebody for their policies or for their rhetoric, they're attacking the person. But actual biting someone's leg off?
It's not an attack. It's a nip. It's
just an interaction.
It's just a little nip.
Did the shark write this?
Right.
That's what it sounds like. Right? I mean, I reject the deliberate, I reject their rejection of deliberate attacks, because they have said that there are some sharks that are aggressive and are very deliberate in that regard. Sometimes, yeah, there, a lot of times there are just accidents and the shark takes a little nip and then, you know, swims away, realizes, oh, this isn't a seal. But at the same time, there are some who are not like that. So, yeah.
And the dictionary definition of interaction is reciprocal action or mm-hmm. influence. Is there really reciprocal action when the shark bites you and you didn't even know it was coming?
I mean, I'm not like actually biting the shark back.
Right.
I mean, they are tasty, but so that's one. That's one goofy story. Here's the other one. Are you ready? Apparently, so they have new emojis coming out. The Emojipedia. They have new emojis coming out. And I was like, do these dudes have beer bellies? What is it? What's up? And apparently they are pregnant dudes with mustaches.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what Emojipedia has. I mean, you can look and see. Have you seen them? I was thinking, did somebody have too many burritos? What is it? But that's, you can't have a gun one, but you can have that one. Why do we need that? Why is that needed? Do people get actually upset if they look at the emoji thing and they realize that they don't have an emoji that they would like, that they feel represents them? Because you have the saddest life if that's the case. I think there's some other things that, you know, might need to. So apparently September is when the final version of them, of when they're going to be, when it will be released. But I think it's not until October that it goes on, like it, when it comes out in the update. I don't know. What would, I mean, is it dad bod emoji? Is it, somebody called it a pony keg. I've never heard that phrase. Have you guys,
you know,
heard
those
that phrase?
Pony kegs were, remember back in the day, they were just these like, these little balls of filled with beer that you put in your fridge?
No.
It's a little pony keg.
I've never heard of a pony keg. Steve, have you heard of a pony keg? What? Wait, I'm terrified to Google this. Or to DuckDuckGo it. Excuse me. Oh, they're just little kegs.
Yeah.
Those are just baby kegs. Why are they called pony kegs?
Well,
That's stupid. It's just a baby keg. You don't call the big full-size keg a horse keg, right? What's an adult horse called? I don't know. What?
A horse?
No, no, you know what I mean. Shut up. I hate you right now. I don't know why it's called that, but whatever. Or Fat Thor. Someone said Fat Thor. I don't think it looks anything like Fat Thor. So now, I mean, I'm so glad that our Navy is like, we're not ready. China could kick our butts in a naval battle in the Pacific. But we got these emojis, everybody. I hope everybody feels better. We have these. This is great, right? Yay. Everything's good and grand. It's all nice, right? All good? No, it's not. It's awful. Everything sucks. So then you have the American Booksellers Association, who are now they're actually burning books. The bookseller people are burning books. They came out with a stupid statement where they were talking about Abigail Schreier's book that examined from an academic perspective the trans phenomena with teenagers and kids. And the American Booksellers thing, they sent books out, and apparently that was one of them, and people complained. And they said that they called it a serious violent incident. You sent someone a book that is not violent. I got sent a book. It's worse than the Civil War. It's literally worse than the Civil War.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
A teachers union president melts down Randy Weingarten over DeSantis' campaign gear. She keeps saying, no, teachers can't go back. They're going to kill everybody. Okay, well then let them all not go back and we don't have to worry about CRT and all that in the schools. How about that? But DeSantis' team, they introduced a line of merchandise to raise money for his campaign, and it's called Don't Fauci My Florida. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love it. Don't Fauci My Florida. And Randy Weingarten is really mad about it. And she's, even though he's totally following and followed all the, you know, CDC, WHO, I guess that Randy Weingarten thinks that the World Health Organization and the CDC and even the administration is wanting to kill people because everybody's on the same page with like opening and going back. I mean, stop it, woman, stop it. Like at one point, maybe you could, you know, pretend to care about the kids that you know, preach that you pretend that, you know, actually care about the kids you pretend to care about. Insane. I'm trying to be really nice here. 7%, only 7%. This is according to a poll from The Hill, want fewer cops on the street. Everybody wants police on the street. They want, in fact, it's a new Hill-Harris poll. So this is not a conservative poll. And everybody wants, it's like, what did they say? A majority of Hispanic voters, 54% want more police in their community. 46% of white voters, 29% of black voters. 11% of black voters say they want less police. 10% of Hispanic, 5% of white voters. But they said that 61% of black voters want to keep the exact same amount of police in their community. 49% of white voters, 35% of Hispanic voters said the same. Oh my, that's significant polling. We have the Attorney General, Ken Paxton of Texas, coming up. Don't miss, because we got a lot to discuss.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
Do you expect that threat to actually come to fruition? You guys get off the plane and you get arrested in the state of Texas?
I doubt it. We've done nothing wrong, okay? So how do you arrest someone if they've done nothing wrong? Can you imagine seeing our dean in handcuffs, Sophronia Thompson? Can you imagine some of our older colleagues being arrested for what? For deciding not to sit down in those chambers and see the negative things that are going on and go along with it? We're not going to do it.
So that's just some of the Texas lawmakers who fled the state, so bravely fled. It's like watching Monty Python. Brave, brave Sir Robin. Just, they fled the state. They went to D.C. to take pictures of their food. Who was it? Gene Wu was eating his fruit into little smiley faces. That's what they're getting their $221 a day, I guess, per diem to pay for. We're paying a guy to eat fruit in the shape of faces and troll Fox News. That's what he's doing. I bet his constituents are super proud. Here to discuss this, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who It's been a busy few days for you, sir. Thanks for joining us. Good to see you.
Oh, I'm glad to do it. It has been a busy few days, and it's kind of shocking that it's come to this. But maybe this is the way the Democrats want it to be.
Yeah. When they discuss arresting and people being arrested, I mean, ultimately, what it says in the Texas state constitution is that when they return to Texas, they can be escorted to the Capitol, where they have to do the business of the people, correct?
That's correct. It's not as they're trying to portray, like they're going to be, you know, taken to prison or jail or put before a court. This is just merely, hey, you have an obligation under the Constitution, which you swore an oath to come in and vote. And they claim that they're trying to protect the vote, but here they are stopping all the other members of the legislature from what? Voting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're trying to protect the vote, and I know that's what they say, and they keep saying that. And I've read the bill, and I've discussed the bill on air, and I've linked to it, and I've cited it, and I've gone through it. No one so far, from the Castros to any of these lawmakers, have ever pointed out, talking to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, where the Jim Crow part of the bill is. Because I don't. Maybe it's like it's in secret ink, and you can't see it. I don't know.
I think Biden meant Sheryl Crow, not Jim Crow.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, so I don't know how it could possibly be what they're saying. As you said, maybe they haven't read the bill, because the provisions of those bills are very sort of, in some ways, innocuous. They're just trying to tighten up some issues that we've had with certain counties recently, particularly in Harris County, where they were doing things outside the law.
Yeah, the 24-hour voting.
Yeah, and like most of these things were already recognized as being unlawful, and they're just making sure that it's understood that these little pranks that were, or these little outside the law efforts by Harris County, are being corrected.
One of the things that I was wondering, because they spend a lot of time going against the emergency procedures that were put into place, because, you know, when the lockdown happened, we had elections, and we had to do elections a little differently. Every state in the union had to approach it, you know, the same way. Certain states like Georgia actually brought it and passed it and made some of those things permanent. They codified like the mail, the drop boxes for ballots, and the 24-hour voting thing, which still I don't understand how that was even why that was even needed during a lockdown. What the things that Texas implemented, that those are the things that were ended, except for the early voting. Additional time was added onto that, and then the counties, just it's just a normalization of when early voting starts and stops, because that was kind of confusing last time around. It was different in every county.
Yeah, and I think one of the things they were trying to do is that different counties started operating differently, largely because, what you said, they were using either COVID as an excuse, or they really were trying to deal with COVID, and so counties were operating differently around the state. And they're not supposed to. It's supposed to be a uniform election code. I think the legislature is merely trying to clarify so that the counties understand what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do.
Yeah. And if people don't have a photo ID, which is required, and I have no problem with it, they can use the last four digits of their social security number, correct?
Right. And also, there's a way that if you sign an affidavit saying that you are unable, under penalty of perjury, to get a photo ID, you can still vote. So that, we put that in several years ago. So even if you don't have a photo ID, there is a way to vote. You just have to swear that you can't get a photo ID for some odd reason.
That, and I would see, I would not even allow that if I were writing the law. I wouldn't even allow that.
No. When we voted on it in 2011, it wasn't in there. What happened was that this circuit struck down our law. They said, but if you'll put this affidavit in there, it'll be fine. So we were forced by the Fifth Circuit
Interesting.
To change it. And so that was our choice, either have no voter ID law or have an affidavit where they swear under penalty of perjury that they can't get a photo ID. So it wasn't chosen by the legislature. Mm-hmm. The Fifth Circuit panel told us, it was a 9-6 vote that struck down our law, but for we put this in and we're good. So we decided, you know what, this is a small give. We didn't choose it. We still get to keep voter ID if we put that in there.
Right. We're talking to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton about the Democrats' exodus, their brave, brave trip to Washington, D.C. The way that I see it, if they're going to make up stuff about what's in the bill, I mean, I think it's safe to say that they left because they are against expanding early voting then. I mean, that seems fair. If they don't want to vote on it, don't want to take a move on it, they oppose early voting.
You certainly could characterize it that way, because it would be partially true, right? I mean, it's part of what they're avoiding is voting on a bill that would expand early voting. And of course, they've never said that. The media has never said it. Thank you for saying it. because nobody else is saying it. And it's true.
Yeah. And I just, you know, again, when I look at this, I look at some, I was comparing the, if this bill were to go through, I was comparing what this law would be compared to Georgia's. I thought Georgia's, for instance, actually went way too far. There were things in Georgia's expansion that I did not agree with, that's why I thought it was so insane when people were saying that their law was racist. And then now they're attacking the Texas law. To me, this seems, and a lot of other people here in Texas, and not just Texas, but around the country, this is just, they're using this just as an apparatus to try to get some momentum for the federal bills, the John Lewis Voting for All, whatever act, where it's about federalization of elections. Do you share that thought?
Absolutely. As you know, H.R. 1 is probably the worst anti-American protection bill ever. And it's designed to take all of our protections that prevent fraud from happening and one by one say, no, even though there's a lot of fraud related to this issue, you can't stop mail-in ballots. Even though felons shouldn't be voting in your state, we're going to let them vote. So it just one by one, it takes away every possible protection. So it is true that voting will be more accessible. It's just that it will be incredibly hard to ever stop massive fraud. If people want to do fraud, it's legalized. It is condoned. It is like, you're okay, just cheat as much as you want, because we want elections to be open to everyone, even if they're not supposed to vote. Wow. That's where they're going.
Wow. This talking to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And I wanted to play, because obviously this is, I have a couple more questions for you on this. One is when do you expect them to be back? Because this is going to pass. I mean, this bill is inevitable. It's going to pass. They're just wasting donor money and wasting time. When do you expect them to kind of make the sad, slow walk back?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know what their ultimate end game here. Is it to affect redistricting and stay away so we can't pass a redistricting plan? Is it that they really didn't understand that the governor was likely to call them back every single day that they're gone and repeat this over and over? We did this in 2003 when I was in the House. Governor Perry, we went all the way to October. Yep. Very hard on people like me who have jobs, who can't go work, and it affects our families. But that story is not being told, how legislators who are sacrificing their time, they make $600 a month, they're down here waiting to vote, and they're being told by 51 absconders that they can't do their job and they otherwise can't go make a living, and their life is totally uncertain, no vacations, no time with your family. You just get to sit on the House floor and wait.
Yeah.
How fair is that?
No, not at all. Is there going to be an investigation into who is funding this trip? I know that some of it have been saying that it's donors and they got the private jets. Those aren't cheap.
You know, that would be up to some other people like the Texas State Police. Sometimes they're favorable to doing things like that, and sometimes they don't do it. We'll just have to see if they'll do the job or whether the DAs. It's largely up to DAs and then state police to do those type of investigations. And we don't always get those investigations. So we'll see if after they report, how all these people report this, because that's going to be a key factor in deciding where the money came from and what happened.
Right, right. We're talking to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Last question that I have for you, sir. This was actually just this afternoon, and I know you've been incredibly outspoken and have done a lot in terms of social media, corporate censorship. And so far we've been calling it corporate censorship, which is very different from just saying censorship outright, because you wanted a little, you know, people want a little bit more evidence of conspiracy or collusion with the federal government as to who's getting suspended, whose posts are getting flagged. But a quick soundbite I wanted to play for you. This is the White House press spokesperson Jen Psaki, who was explaining just this afternoon how they're working with platforms like Facebook to flag posts from citizens, people who share what they say is disinformation. Listen.
With these social media platforms, and those engagements typically happen through members of our senior staff, but also members of our COVID-19 team. Given, as Dr. Murthy conveyed, this is a big issue of misinformation, specifically on the pandemic. In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken, or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical professionals to connect to connected medical experts who are popular with their audiences with accurate information and boost trusted content. So we're helping get trusted content out there. We also created the COVID community core to get factual information into the hands of local messengers.
And we're also investing. And I wanted to get your thoughts talking to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton on something like this, because now I think it's, now I'm not even going to use corporate censorship. This is censorship. This is the White House admitting that they're working with social media platforms to censor individuals. What are your thoughts on this? And how can individuals even protect themselves from this kind of overreach?
You know, I never thought that George Orwell's book would become 1984 would become reality of my lifetime, but it is becoming reality. And the fact that they are so openly admitting it, they're not even hiding it. So they're like, yeah, we are censoring, and guess what? We're the government. We're here to help, and we can do what we want, even though this should be illegal and it is government censorship. There is a First Amendment, and they openly claim that they're doing it. They're not even afraid of saying that. That is a scary time.
Very scary thing indeed. Yeah, I I figure that it's probably even more widespread than it is here. Goodness. Well, we're going to watch and see when the Texas State Democrats come doing that sad, slow, sorry walk back from Washington, D.C. And what kind of escort? That's what I'm most looking forward to, sir, is what kind of escort's going to be meeting them?
You know what will happen? And this happened in 2003, that the Democrats took out, they left the House to avoid redistricting. They came back with a gallery full of people that they had brought in, and they came in like triumphantly as if they were heroes coming back from some type of, you know, conquest.
Gosh. Well, they did act like they were going to war. I mean, so that, you know, it's fitting that they would try to come back. They act like they're going off to war. There's sacrifices that they make. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, sir, good to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Dana. Have a great day.
You too.
The weird, the unusual, and the hilarious. Check out Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
The left responded with a total meltdown. Regulations that left Georgia with more flexible early voting and more flexible absentee voting than many blue states, including New York, were insanely called Jim Crow 2.0. What nonsense. Georgia Democrats scared huge corporations into promoting a moral panic that was completely and totally false. It was a shameless effort to manufacture an air of crisis to help Democrats ram their election takeover bills through the Congress.
I liked how he was laughing there. When he was, it's so silly the way that you have Democrats who are what they're pushing. I'm telling you what, welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. My, I don't know. I just think that in the great and alls of American history here, I just think that the red siren should be going off right now, especially after everything that we've seen today. And I'm telling you what, having the press secretary go out and tell the press that they are working with the government, they're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation, and they're telling Facebook these accounts or these posts or whatever needs to go. This is censorship. There is no gray area here. You either support censorship or you don't. Choose your side. You support it or you don't. This isn't corporate censorship, and I've always been very careful. This is censorship. What do you choose? Do you support it or do you reject it? That's it. That is the question. What have I been telling you? The whole, all of this is liberty versus tyranny. That's it. Liberty versus tyranny. There's no other way around it. That's it. And this is why I'm like, with these natural rights, there is no room for compromise. There's no room for compromise on free speech. You have booksellers out there telling everyone, we're so sorry that we are banning a book that you haven't even read yet. I mean, today in stupidity, Kane.
Yeah, that was stupid too. But this time it goes to Governor Cuomo once again. He was out there trying to be the hypothetical New Yorker. Listen to this.
Look at the state of affairs. Look at the problems. Look at gun violence. Look at homelessness. Look at crime. Look at the number of people who don't have confidence in this city, who are saying, I'm not ready to come back. I'm afraid to take the subways. I'm afraid to walk down the streets. You say go to the restaurant. I'm afraid that I may be assaulted by a mentally ill homeless person. That is the agenda to target. Mm.
Oh, good Lord.
And folks, I will be out tomorrow, but back with you on Monday, danalash.com. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Back with you Monday.